This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz Dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Today, we are talking about advent calendars because...
Tis the season.
Well, yeah, it's the day after Valentine's Day.
Uh-huh.
And as everyone knows... Advent calendars lead you up to Valentine's Day.
That's right. And then it's to celebrate...
the advent of love.
The advent of love. Wow, the advent of love. What a lyrical phrase.
Yeah, that sounds like a terrible romance novel, though. Like, what would happen it in sounds, the advent of love?
I mean, it sounds like an alternative name for Love Actually, a terrible romance movie.
Oh, it's like a unfortunate and overly formal translation.
Yes, yes, it's what they called Love Actually, like in Switzerland.
Yeah. Okay. So this episode, which again is advent calendars,
yes,
was suggested by listener Ray. Thank
yeah,
you, listener Ray.
To me, like, doing this episode in February, like, brings back fond memories of when I used to do a...
Christmas?
Of fond memories of Christmas, which was a few weeks ago. And also of doing a podcast that I used to do with friend of the show, Becky Selinger, called Look Inside This Book Club.
I miss this podcast.
Yeah, it was a romance novel podcast. And I would often pick romances to talk about that were Christmas romances in, like, March.
Perfect.
So
perfect.
This is the same kind of deal.
Yeah. So memory lane. You know, it's interesting because it's not interesting, actually. Hold on. So pretty much my only advent calendar on memory lane is the old, like, grocery store cheap chocolate kind. And I don't even think that it was, like, something we always had when I was a kid.
No, I don't think
it wasn't our thing.
That's my memory lane also. It's the one that had, like, you know, colorful Christmas decoration-y front, and it was, like, had little cardboard doors and, like, a plastic lining that had different shapes of very cheap milk chocolate.
And you would be really excited for maybe, like, the first 4 days.
Right.
And then you would start forgetting.
I don't know. Like, I think when I had them, like, I was pretty excited because it was chocolate every day. I was not picky about chocolate as a kid.
Okay.
Like, I got snobby later.
Okay.
And then, like, it would culminate on the 24th or 25th. I think usually the 24th, but when I looked into it, it was like sometimes they go all the way to the 25th.
I think of them going all the way to the 25th.
Yeah. Anyway, there would be a Santa face, and that would be the biggest chocolate.
Oh, wow. That's exciting.
And so, like, kids, like, if you want to eat Santa's face... Now you can.
You have to wait until Christmas Eve or Christmas Day.
You have to wait until Christmas Eve or Christmas Day.
Yeah.
But if you go to the mall, you can sit on Santa's lap. And when Santa says, what do you want for Christmas? Like, Santa, like, a few days from now, I want to eat your face.
Yeah.
I think that's what happens in, I was going to say.
I feel like that is harassment.
No. I you think I was suggesting that children actually do this?
I was. And I just wanted to say, listen, if your kids do this and you guys get arrested, don't blame us.
Well, the thing that was about to come out of my mouth was, I think that's what happens in that Chucky movie. But A, I don't think that's a Christmas movie, although I'm not sure. And B, it's not a child, it's a doll. But if there was...
But it's a child doll.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it's not like Barbie, which is an adult doll.
That's true. Yeah, like, but you could imagine Chucky biting Santa's face, right? That's,
oh my God, big time.
Yeah.
Or Bunnicula. Anyway. Bunnicula would go for the jugular.
Would absolutely, like, Bunnicula has taken down multiple Santas.
Oh, so many Santas.
Like, yeah.
Is there, like, a Christmas-themed Bunnicula book? There should be.
I think there is. Boy, we sure read all of those books and like, the Howie and Delilah spinoff series a number of times. Recently, so yesterday, or, like, in the past couple of days, there have been a couple of Christmas miracles.
Okay. Are we still talking about, okay, we're going to be talking about Christmas through this whole episode, apparently.
Right, so this is totally on topic.
Okay.
And this, and to be clear, like, it's January as we're recording this, so.
Oh, God, but, Matthew, I can't believe you pulled up the veil.
I pulled up the veil.
Or the curtain, pull up or you pulled aside the curtain.
I pulled aside the
veil
curtain.
Is
I pulled
thin.
Down the veil. There was, yes, this whole episode is going to be thinly veiled. Okay, Christmas miracle number one, and I don't know if I'm going to remember both of them once I get started.
Okay.
Christmas miracle number one. We have a running joke around my house, like a classic dad joke type of joke that you say any time of year, like on Halloween, such and such becomes such and such, which is almost the same thing, but like with a scary word involved. So like, like on Halloween, an advent calendar becomes an advent killender. So like that's about the caliber of joke we're talking about.
Okay, great.
And I remembered how this started. Like, I had not thought about it for well over a decade. And I remembered the first version of this joke that we ever told,
okay.
Which was that when December was like 3 years old, we used to walk to preschool every day, which was 10 blocks. So it took like 55 minutes. And I would tell made up stories the whole way, which was exhausting.
Oh my God. Telling made up stories to children is the most exhausting thing you can do.
And so a lot of them involved Howie and Delilah, which were dogs from the Bunnicula books. At the time, December would often wear these this brand of kids' shoes called Tsukihoshis.
Okay.
In one of these stories, it was Halloween, and one of these dogs was wearing Tsukihoshis, and they turned into Spookyhoshis. That was the original version of that joke. I know you've all been wanting to know.
Wow.
Christmas miracle number two.
That
are you ready?
That took a lot of setup. Okay,
yeah,
go
this
ahead.
One is, this one's going to too, but it's going to have much less payoff.
Okay. Great. Woo! So,
but you're going to love this. Earlier this year, no, last year now, wife of the show, Lori, and I took our first trip to Japan since before the pandemic. We were getting ready to pack, and I was like, okay, let me get my my black rolling suitcase out of the storage space, and it was not there.
Oh, my God.
And we were like, how do you lose a suitcase? Like, we knew we had two of these and had given away one of them.
Well, that's how you lost one.
That's how we lost one, but now we had none.
Oh, okay.
So Lori's like, did I donate it? I don't remember donating a suitcase. And it just became one of these unsolved family mysteries until this week when we were having Christmas.
Wait, how long ago was this?
This was like 10 months ago.
Okay.
And until this week when we were having family Christmas belatedly because some people in my family got COVID. And
wait a minute. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. So my parents and my brother.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So we got together for family Christmas. And as we're leaving, my brother Jake says, hey, do you want me to give you back that suitcase you loaned to me a couple years ago? And we had loaned the suitcase to Jake in 2020 to go on a trip that ended up being canceled because of COVID. And it's been sitting in his garage ever since.
Oh, my God.
So Christmas miracles abound. It's really like, you know, as they said in Die Hard, you know, it's the season of miracles.
Yes.
Relax, Theo.
I've never seen Die Hard.
Oh, my God. This wait, have we talked? We talked about this when we probably on the Fast 10 episode. I think you would genuinely enjoy this movie. It's an extremely good movie.
No, I've heard. I've been wanting to see it. Sort of.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. So in order to talk about advent calendars, I think you're going to have to like tell me what advent is. And I used to know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, me too.
But I don't remember.
Okay. So I did some research about what advent is, including talking to my wife who grew up Catholic. You and I, are as two secular Jews, are definitely the two people most qualified to teach you about advent.
The right people to talk about advent.
Okay. So Advent is the religious lead up to Christmas. And so I'm going to read a little Wikipedia here. Quote, the season of Advent in the Christian calendar anticipates the coming of Christ from three different perspectives: the physical nativity in Bethlehem, the reception of Christ in the heart of the believer, and the eschatological second coming. Are you impressed that I pronounced that word?
Eschatological.
Yes.
Eschatological. Really?
And then I looked up what eschatology is, and I forgot.
Uh-oh.
it's something to do with like religious texts and stuff.
Okay. All right. Say more.
So there are a variety of traditions associated with Advent, including the lighting of an Advent wreath, which December used to do with Silas W. Sister-in-law of the show, Wendy, when they were little.
Okay.
So then, and I was like, an Advent wreath. It's like a wreath that you put candles on and light, like, you know, every day or night during Advent. I'm like, is this derived from a menorah? I did a little research. Probably yes.
Okay.
And some other traditions: lighting a Christingle, which is a candle stuck into an orange. I think this is a European thing.
Okay.
Saying a daily prayer. And in most, but far from all, Christian denominations, Advent begins on the fourth Sunday before Christmas. But commercial Advent calendars pretty much always begin on December 1st.
Okay.
Just so they don't have to, like, make a whole new design every year, I think.
Okay. I note here that you say Advent is followed by the 12 days of Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you? So
why are there 12 days of Christmas?
I mean, I think, like, honestly, I think the reason is because, like, in Christianity, the birth of Jesus is a very big deal and gets celebrated over quite a long period of time.
Okay.
If you had asked me, like, when are the 12 days of Christmas and do they start or end on December 25th, would you have known?
I only know this year because Brandon and his partner Natalie had a 12th night party, and I attended. And I thought to myself, this must be a reference to the 12 days of Christmas, but I didn't learn anything else about it.
I mean, you're correct.
And the party was at the end of the first week of January.
Yeah, I think the 12th night is like when Epiphany begins. I know so little about any of this.
I remember learning what Epiphany was in high school, in chapel. And I remember for some reason it was one of the explanations of these kinds of things that actually stuck with me.
Okay.
But only for a certain amount of time.
But not up to the present.
No.
Okay, great.
I mean, I'm 45 years old. I think I learned this. Well, I learned this sometime between 15 and 18.
Yeah.
I think it stuck with me for probably 10 years.
Yeah, I'm 48 years old. I as soon as we finish taping this podcast, I'm going to forget everything we talked about.
Literally.
Yes.
Okay. So let's talk about Advent calendars.
All right. So that's what Advent is. So it's the lead up to Christmas that's celebrated in a variety of different ways. And one of those ways is with an Advent calendar.
That's right. And where did the Advent calendar tradition begin?
So anything you think of as like a Christmas tradition probably either came from Washington Irving or from Germany.
Wait, is Washington Irving a place?
Washington Irving is a guy, or American writer, who like sort of codified a lot of American Christmas traditions to the extent that, like, you know, many things we think of as like, this is what we do on Christmas in America are like things from Washington Irving stories.
Wait, can you give me an example?
Like Christmas trees? Like decorating a Christmas tree?
Wait, but the U.S. only dates back to the late 1700s.
Right, but I understand. But the idea of, like, you are going to, like, buy a tree and put it in your home, and that's going to be your Christmas tree.
Okay.
Like, and everyone who celebrates Christmas is going to do that. That's like a new thing.
Okay. But so maybe before there were like other things, like where maybe there'd be a tree in like a town square or something.
Yeah. But wow. Like you getting your own Christmas tree, I think stockings, like all these things have had like, you know, sort
this
of like
this was the beginning of like the nuclearization of the American family or the.
Yeah.
Right.
I think like, that's what it's
let's
that's
not
definitely
go,
related.
OK, interesting.
It's when. Yeah. That's when like family started to go nuclear.
Nuclear.
It's so fun to say nuclear.
Oh, God. Nice job. Nice job, George W. Bush.
So, yeah. So among German Lutherans in the 19th century is when we first started seeing Advent calendars. And
is it just that, like, Germans were, like, really good at cozy winter traditions?
That was going to be my guess, too. I don't know the answer.
I mean, they didn't do hygge, But they were close to the land of Huga.
There's probably a German word for Huga.
Probably. Go on. So German Lutherans.
Yes. And then we're, of course, talking about the commercial American versions of advent calendars, which usually start on December 1st. They have like some randomly arranged doors numbered from 1 to 24 or 25.
I never understood why the doors are arranged randomly.
I think it's like so you can get your kids out of your hair for like 4 more seconds a day.
Okay.
Like, hey, kids, find a door.
Okay.
when God opens a door, he throws you out a window.
That's how it goes. So, okay, did the Amster family go in for advent calendars in any sort of notable way?
I think we sometimes had the cheap chocolate version.
Okay.
That's all I remember. I don't think they ever got like more involved than that. Did you did you have the cheap chocolate version
in
your house?
It's like I knew they existed, but they were not something that I really cared about. I don't think they were really a part of my childhood Christmases. But now we always have some sort of advent calendar. We've tried many different kinds, and I'm looking forward to talking about these.
Okay. So would you like to open an advent calendar door right now? Because here's what happened. Psylots W, who apparently is into all sorts of advent things, gave us as a gift this year, and she also got for herself, the 24 days of tea, 24 jours de thé à déguster, 24 days of tea to enjoy by Palais de Thé.
Okay.
Paris.
Wow.
And there was some delay with the shipping. And so we got it on like the 7th or something. And so we still haven't opened like 1 through 7.
Okay.
So why don't we each open one? And if the tea
discipline.
Sounds good, we can brew it.
Oh, God. Even this one is out of order. Like, why? Behind door number one.
Okay. What tea do you have?
Le thé magnifique.
Is that the name of the tea?
Thé vert, poire, vanille et amande. Green tea with pear, vanilla, and almond.
Vanilla and love.
With pear, vanilla, and almond. I don't think I want that.
Okay. Yeah. Many of them were like fruity flavored teas that I didn't want. A couple of them were pretty good. And,
what's that one?
Grand Yunnan Imperial. Delicious, mellow, and honeyed black tea. I don't know about honeyed, but look how nice these tea bags are. They're like little cloth bags.
Oh, that's a good looking bag.
So we are plundering this puppy.
Okay, I'm on December 3rd. This is the Jardin à la Française, the French garden. Mm-hmm. It is pear and blackberry leaves. Why do I keep getting
fruit
teas?
Like eight? Eight hasn't even been opened? Maybe we started on like the 9th? Okay. Number 8, Grand Jasmine Chun Feng, green tea with jasmine flowers. I would drink that.
Okay. I'm going to do number 5.
Okay.
I hope
the listeners are loving this.
Oh, this is perfect for Valentine's Day. This is the Thé des Amants. So that's lover's tea. It's a black tea with apple and spices. I don't want that either.
Mm-hmm. Is it like guaranteed to like...
Guaranteed. Hold on. It's number 4. I'm going with 4. It's Gun Mai Cha.
Okay. I like that.
Yay. Thé vert et riz grillé. I really don't remember. I'm amazed I remember how to pronounce anything, but not everything.
This one's from Sri Lanka. It's the St. James OP. Strong, full-bodied black tea. Okay.
Wow. Okay. Well, that was pretty fun.
Yeah.
It's fun to open
little perforated doors. Let's admit it.
Oh, and I just noticed that there are tea quotations.
Oh, hit me.
On each door. So this one's from Confucius. The man who moves a mountain begins by carrying away small stones.
Okay. Mm. And probably never makes much of a dent on the whole mountain. Let's be honest.
It's true. It's true.
Like a mountain is big.
Let's see if I can find another one.
Another great quote?
Yeah, I'm trying to find a really good one.
I bet they're all really good.
Okay, I think this one's really light. This is from the Dalai Lama. The question is not to know what is the meaning of life, but what meaning I can give to my life.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm gonna like my meaning is gonna be like I'm gonna try the mountain moving thing. I'm gonna carry some stones.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by MasterClass.
Matthew, this weekend I took a class from somebody who I bet you admire as much as I do.
Okay, let me see it. Let me see if I can guess who that is. Denzel Washington.
No, so close though.
Okay.
Margaret Atwood.
Okay, yeah, very similar.
Yes. So Margaret Atwood, she has a series of 23 classes on MasterClass.
23 classes.
23 classes. And I only had time, honestly, to watch two of them. But one of the ones that I watched was about how she chose to do to write The Handmaid's Tale in first person, where she wrote Alias Grace from multiple points of view.
Wow.
And so it was so interesting to listen to her talk about like the feeling that she wanted the book to have and why a story should be told from this perspective or that one. Anyway, even though I'm a writer and I teach writing, I think this stuff would be fascinating even to people who just read the book. It was so great.
Yeah, I mean, MasterClass is for you. If you're like me, a bit of a prima donna, and you're like, I want to learn something, but I only want to learn from the best, You go to MasterClass. You can learn to think like a boss with Martha Stewart. You can learn to shoot three-pointers with Steph Curry. Like, if you imagine the person who's best at the thing you want to learn, they are probably already on MasterClass teaching how to do it.
That is accurate. And plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So, like, zero risk here. If you are a lifelong learner, and we certainly hope you are,
if you're a lifelong learner, why are you listening to this show? Instead, head over to MasterClass for an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
That's masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Well, so this year you received that tea advent calendar, but you also had another one, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So we also had this one where we punched out little kind of like thick, like paperboard animals, and they were little, like they had little slots, and so you would slot them into the branches of a paper Christmas tree, a cardboard Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. Did not work very well. Like, the designs were cute, but the little slots did not have much like integrity.
Okay.
So animals kept falling off the tree.
And how did you select this?
Usually, Watsel will choose the advent calendar.
Okay.
And she is not big on food advent calendars. So, especially not chocolate. Mm-hmm. Probably bad memories of the crappy chocolate from the ones of her youth. So, wants it to be something more artistic, fun, playful. Like, we had one with penguins in the past that was really fun.
Oh, that's
that was
great.
Related to some penguin picture book. We've had the owl babies.
Oh my gosh, like the book.
Yeah, but in the book there's 3 owl babies, but in the calendar there's like 25 owl babies.
Wow. Okay, well, so Ash picked out our advent calendar this year. They found it online, probably like through some Instagram ad. But anyway, it was a visually, it was not very attractive. That part, I would say, was a bit disappointing.
Okay.
It was basically like these brown paper pouches that were all held together like with like perforations.
Okay.
So it was like 2 like long strips of brown paper pouches that we like hung with, like taped to a bookshelf in the kitchen.
Okay. And were they in order or did you still have to?
They were in order.
Okay.
What they contained, each day contained, this part was really great, a felted ornament.
Okay, I like that.
Oh my God, some of them were like unbearably cute. There was a little head of broccoli, and there was a little rainbow with a cloud at either end.
Aww.
There was a house with a chimney with like a little puff of smoke coming out of it. I mean, we're going to have these ornaments for a very long time. They're
so and then
so
each
cute.
Day, did you get to go hang it on the actual tree?
Yes.
Nice.
And unfortunately, it came with these like kind of like the little loop to hang it was a white elastic.
Hmm.
And we
That's
all
weird.
Found that quite ugly. So we just cut it off and just kind of snagged the felted wool with a Christmas tree hook.
Okay.
And hung it that way. But anyway, that was pretty awesome. And I think that we will have many, if not all, of these ornaments for years to come.
I love that.
So that was pretty sweet. Let's see. Other things we've done. Yeah. One year we did June was really into fidgets that year.
Sure.
And we did a fidget advent calendar. Not as cool as it seemed.
But like with like a different fidget toy every day?
Yeah, there were a couple repeats, and I got to tell you, those were
like either
it
would have to
bummer.
Be really expensive or the quality would have to be suspicious.
The quality was very suspicious. Yeah. Although I do think that I came upon one of the fidgets the other day, and it was a little finger trap thing.
Yeah.
Which I hadn't seen in a long time.
Yeah. You know, every year my mother puts a water weenie in my stocking.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, what do you do with them?
Oh, today I just accidentally left it at their house.
Today?
Oh, yesterday.
Oh, okay.
This year.
Okay, great. Okay, hold on. Wait, we've also done, have you ever done the Lego advent calendars?
I don't think we have. I discovered one when I was researching that I think we're going to get for this year, which is going to be a National Geographic, it's polished stones, minerals calendar.
Oh my
gosh.
Does
that sound awesome?
You got to send me a link for that
because
everybody in my family would love that.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so no, tell me about this one.
Okay. So Lego. The Lego one we got, I think they have different themes. Of course, we went with Harry Potter. I think we did this at least one, if not 2 years. And it was fine. I mean, basically each day when you open the little door, you've got a little like glassine packet that's got one little thing for you to build. So
the hell is glassine?
Oh, it's like the crinkly plastic.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
And,
I didn't know that was called that.
You know, it was pretty satisfying, I have to say.
Did each one add to
a scene?
Okay.
Yeah. And the scene, this was a few years ago. The scene, I think, maybe it was like you converted part of the box into the scene or something. And then like everything that you made then went like onto the box.
Okay.
I can't remember. I'm messing this up. But we have also done the chocolate ones, and I have to say that none of us... So we always have candy and dessert in the house anyway, and so it's not a big thrill.
It needs to be like something else special.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have so many malt balls in the house right now.
Really?
Yeah, it's great.
You can have some. That's awesome. Yeah, so for me, I think that the lure of the chocolate is just never going to work in my household because we actually have good dessert around.
Yeah, like I've gotten like one year I got like a Trader Joe's like tasting chocolate, like can you figure out what the flavor is?
Mm.
Yeah, I don't think it was actually an advent calendar, but it was kind of just like we have enough chocolate. Like,
what about
we
the
don't
little...
need to play your games?
No. What about the little Bon Maman little jam?
Oh yes,
jam calendars.
Yes. So we've had that one twice.
Okay.
The thing I like about it is that it's fun to open a little jam and try it every day. It's also funny that on the box it says very clearly these are spreads and honeys, not jams, because they do not fit like the FDA definition of a jam. But they are tasty. You do end up with a large amount of little tiny jars that you have no use for.
Sure. Yeah, I know. I think you in the past have maybe given me a couple of those jams or something that you were over. And the jars are always fun, but only like one or two at a time.
Yeah, so I don't think we're going to do that one again. We did enjoy it in the past.
Yeah. I don't know if there's anything that I really want 12 days of. Other than maybe like a craft project.
What if, okay, I've got a couple of ideas.
I mean, not 12 days, 25 days.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some 12-day calendars in a minute. But yeah, it's usually 24 days. So what about like 24 days of different sex positions?
Okay.
This is like an adult advent calendar.
Okay.
Which I know we've talked about this before. Like now that I say that is way too many.
I couldn't keep up with it for sure.
What about 24 days of Kinder Egg toys? And like you don't have to deal with the terrible Kinder Egg chocolate. It's just little toys to assemble every day.
You know what I would go for? Okay, here's what I would like. 25 days of Gachapon toys.
Yes.
That's what I want.
Oh, yeah.
Because those toys are actually good as opposed to Kinder Egg toys, which I don't think are so
good. They are often good. There's such an incredibly wide range that they really range
That's
from
true.
Amazing to eh.
Well, I guess the nice thing with... I guess the reason why I'm thinking Gachapon is so good is that, when you go to a Gachapon machine, right, you can see what type of toy is inside it. That might not be the case for the advent calendar.
No, but it's a really good idea.
Thank you.
And would it somehow dispense?
No.
Okay. You just open the door.
I think that what I would like is for the calendar itself to be, you know, like, you know, made out of whatever that cardboard is, and to be shaped, it to be round.
Yeah.
Like a gachapon.
Such a good
ball.
Idea.
And then you just open doors, and behind it are the little toys you assemble.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Wait a minute. I did think of, okay, this year I learned about an advent calendar that honestly is the best I've ever seen. This was a gift to June from Brandon's partner, Natalie. It is, and I don't love the idea of an electron or like online advent calendar,
but
this is so beautiful. The brand name is Jackie Lawson. J-A-C-Q-U-I-E.
Okay.
Jackie Lawson. And it is, I don't know if it's always Edwardian, but this year it was the Edwardian Christmas Advent calendar.
And is it just like scenes? What is it?
Oh my God. It is basically like you download it onto your tablet or your computer or whatever. Okay. It's best on a tablet, if you know, or a touchscreen device.
This reminds me of something.
Yeah, it's basically an app, and you open it up. It gives you a little tutorial, but basically there is a scene. It's like of some like Edwardian like manor house, and there are all sorts of activities that you can do there. But also there is like a little Christmas bauble in each window, and it's got the numbers, and you click on it for each day.
Wow!
And it reveals some sort of activity or gift. Like it might give you a game you can play. Like there was a version of Tetris, but
love Edwardian Tetris.
But was with like a wooden box that had little like concave dimples and marbles that fit in it.
Okay.
And so the marbles would like come down, and it was like Tetris, but with a wooden box and marbles. One day it painted a portrait for me of the two dogs who live at the manor house. And then I got to hang it in my Edwardian drawing room.
That is delightful.
One day it gave me a video of the staff, who were comprised of teddy bears, cleaning the drawing room. And that was thrilling.
Yeah.
And through the whole thing, it's playing like Edwardian era Christmas
And do you
music.
Get to like help them unionize?
You do. The illustrations are absolutely beautiful. You can change the decor of your drawing room. And they're like puppies and kittens like sleeping in the room, and if you touch them they like wake up and meow or look at you.
I didn't know, like, I was gonna awaken this.
This is the most, like, there could be nothing more perfect for my child, frankly.
Yeah.
Nor for me. I mean, June would just sit and spend hours. There's also there are these like binoculars, and you can go outside the manor house and look for different animals. There's a different animal each day, and then you have a journal that you're writing in about the animals, but really all you're doing is like watercoloring the drawing that you supposedly have made of them. It is the most beautiful. It's beautiful.
I mean, this
I can't
great.
Even say enough about it.
Since
it's
we already determined that the whole point of an advent calendar is to distract your kids for a few precious minutes,
it
sounds like the best one.
This is the best one.
Yeah, now I'm imagining like a kid designing their own advent calendar, and it's just like a new pet every day.
Oh my gosh. And these are like very affordable.
Okay.
Out.
Oh, they have like different versions?
So there's a new one every year.
So you can get like the Edwardian, the Victorian.
Well, I'm not sure.
The Regency.
Here's the Jackie Lawson 2023 Edwardian Advent Calendar.
Okay.
I don't know if it's different any other years.
Okay.
Now, maybe it's always Edwardian.
I bet Jackie mixes it up a little bit.
Maybe.
At least with the content. How much is it?
So it is, if you buy one, it's $7.99.
Good deal. Okay.
Right? And you download
Sounds
it.
Sounds like that, you get a lot of teddy bears.
Last year was the Sussex Advent Calendar.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So anyway, yeah. So again, it's Jackie Lawson. You can find it out there. Yeah.
Has she done like a Harry and Meghan?
Not yet. I cannot even tell you how much I enjoyed this. It truly, hold on, Matthew, I gotta make you watch this video. This is, sorry.
It's time to settle into your shiny new motor car and admire the view as your chauffeur takes you up the winding driveway to your magnificent stately home. Because this year, for our 14th annual advent calendar, we're taking you back to spend Christmas in the glamorous Edwardian era. From the 1st of December through to the 25th, you'll open up this beautiful country house scene to find a numbered ornament concealing a surprise.
I'm getting and this for December this year.
All seasonal activities such as decorating a Christmas tree or designing your own tapestry. And with more games than ever before, as well as creative activities.
Oh, yeah.
Surprises.
Yeah, they used to love playing Candy Crush in Edwardian times.
Anyway, it's going to change your life, Matthew.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm sold.
Okay.
I'm just remembering, as you mentioned this, the first online advent calendar that I ever encountered, which was, I'm going to say, early 2000s. I believe it was a Perl programming language advent calendar that I enjoyed very much that like had a little like programming tip every day.
Oh, that.
And it was free.
That had to be pretty satisfying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Wow, this episode is really long already. Let's just hit some high points and get out of here.
Okay. So I found some other food-related advent calendars online, many of which are 12-day calendars because 24 days would get excessive, I'm assuming is the reason.
Sure.
So I found Asha, it was a Chinese instant noodle company, 12 Days of Noodles. That sounded really good.
Yeah.
Walker's Shortbread.
Okay.
Classic.
Who doesn't like that?
Vine Box, 12 Nights of Wine with like little like, you know, quarter bottles of wine.
Okay.
Harry and David did a 24-day advent calendar for $200.
What? Okay.
Eater did a roundup that we'll link to that mentioned a calendar from Blackberry Farm featuring, quote, goodies like pickled ramps, sorghum shortbread, and hand-poured candles for $400.
No comment.
Yeah.
No comment.
Okay. One more thing about advent calendars, and this is going to be a thing I'm going to tell you about that I don't understand, and hopefully someone will write in with more information because there's a big question hanging over this, more than one probably. So I learned on Wikipedia about something called the Nordic Christmas calendar tradition, which was something that started in the 1950s. Apparently in Nordic countries, TV stations and in the past radio stations have advent calendar programs. So it's
okay.
Like a serial that airs like on the 24 days leading up to Christmas with like a little installment of the story each day. So according to Wikipedia, quote, each series consists of 24 episodes which air daily beginning on the 1st of December and ending on Christmas Eve. The first Christmas calendar was the Swedish titulature. not a funny word. Nothing funny about titulature. The first such series aired in Denmark was Historie fra Helleverden in 1962. And then this is still quoting from Wikipedia, quote, most Christmas calendars are produced for children, while some cater to both children and adults, and even some are directed at adults alone.
Do you think that would be the 25 days of sexual sex positions thing?
Like, what are they going to do next?
Yeah. Okay.
Christmas calendars often feature Tomter or Nisser, and occasionally a Santa Claus figure. And I looked at Tomter and Nisser are different names for like little kind of fairy garden gnome type guys with like pointy hats.
I noticed on some I've seen periodically on windows in Ballard, like something like find Tomte or whatever,
yeah.
Like a little like Nordic gnome dude.
Yep. There you go. So I know we have listeners in Nordic countries. I'd love to learn more about this because everything that I found in English was pretty vague. And I would especially like to know if an adults only Christmas calendar program is a real thing.
Do you think that it would be, I mean, either it could be sort of like porny.
I don't think it is.
Or it could be like very Law and Order SVU. Who's going to get killed?
Who killed Santa in a horrific way?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it was the kid who ate Santa's face.
Obviously.
Was that it? Right.
Obviously. Dun, dun.
Spoiler
do,
alert.
Do, do, yep. do. Wow, close that case quickly.
Okay.
Okay.
What are we going to do for the remaining 23 days?
Well, luckily, we have some spilled mail.
Okay.
As you might have expected, we have some horseshoe reports from Springfield,
Illinois.
Yeah,
we should have a recurring segment now called Horseshoe Reports, and we'll get some like clopping hooves.
Abby, can you find those?
Yeah, can you clop?
This is from listener Libby. Hello, both. I wanted to clarify horseshoes for you. The layers go from bottom to top. Wait, what episode was this in
this
reference to?
This was Loaded Fries. Okay.
All right. The layers go from bottom to top, toast, full burger or fried chicken patty, fries, cheese gravy. Some people put additional things on top, but those are the essentials for the horseshoe. Some places have a secret cheese sauce. Darcy's is one of the go-to places, but even a fast casual chain like Steak and Shake serves them.
I assume Darcy's is a restaurant chain run by Darcy from the Smashing Pumpkins.
Probably. I am born and raised in Springfield, and they're very popular here for sure. You will be hard-pressed to find a local generic restaurant without one on the menu. Love you both, and best wishes, Libby.
And we also heard a horseshoe report, clop, 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 from listener Jeff.
Okay, I'll read this one too. I think I'm qualified to answer the horseshoe question because I grew up in West Central Illinois and horseshoes are ubiquitous. I've never seen anyone try to turn it into a sandwich. That would be rather difficult, particularly with the places that use cheese sauce. It would be very messy. There are a lot of variants, including a place near where I live that serves an Italian horseshoe with either hamburger or chicken strips topped with meat sauce and mozzarella.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I would eat that.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, listeners.
Wow.
Yeah. I was pleased that we definitely got some horseshoe details wrong and people corrected us in such a supportive way.
I know. They even said they love us.
Yeah.
And they sent good wishes.
Let's make more mistakes.
Okay. Matthew, are you snacking on anything?
I am snacking. Hey, what you snacking? You gotta tell me what you're snacking. Or I'll release the kraken. So what you snacking?
What you snacking?
I'm snacking a new Trader Joe's product that I feel like is going to turn out to be a seasonal product that's going to disappear very soon. But it's the Trader Joe's Stepping It Up Spicy Snack Bar Mix.
Okay.
It comes in a red can, and it's like a Gardetto's or like Chex Mix type of snack
Gardetto's.
Mix. But it is the best one I've ever had. It's got jalapeno pretzel pieces, spicy cheese corn sticks, spiced chili almonds, and crispy chili lemon corn nuts. They all work so well together. All the individual pieces are good. It's a great level of spicy. We have been snarfing the hell out of this stuff.
Wow. Okay. I'm very curious to try it because it sounds like it has too many different flavors going on for me personally. Oh, you're going to bring out the mix.
Step it up.
I'm going to step it up. Let me make sure I get a little bit of everything mm-hmm. here.
Yeah, we'll mute Molly's mic while I read the outro. Our producer is Abby Circatella. Molly has a newsletter called I've Got a Feeling that you can find at mollyweisenberg.substack.com. Mm. I'm a singing guy, and I have songs available early to the airport on Spotify or any other service. Mm-hmm. You can rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. Mm. You can hang out with other people who listen to the show at everythingspilledmilk.reddit.com, a very supportive community. What do you think? What do you think of that crispy? Those crispy boys.
It's really good.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah.
I think my favorite piece is the little this guy, which I guess is the. I don't even know what this is.
What
it
is
doesn't
that?
Seem to be any of the things I said. Is it a jalapeno pretzel piece? No.
I think. Well, so this.
No, oh, it's the spiced cheese corn stick.
Oh, that's a cheese corn stick.
No, that's this. Okay, so there's like a mystery piece that's the equivalent of the rye toast.
Hold on, pasilla chili and sesame chips.
Mm-hmm. I left one out. Okay.
Okay. Wow. That's good stuff.
All right. So until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk.
I'm a crispy chili lemon corn nugget.
I'm just a regular old pretzel piece.
Bye.
Bye.
So, stores are a little difficult.
Yeah, you got it.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. There's a little corner.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.